Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 231st edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is Nargis Alizada. She is from Baku, Azerbaijan, and has worked as a finance manager in corporate settings in Baku, Istanbul, and Moscow. She and her daughters are living in Falmouth while she attends the University of Maine's MBA program. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Nargis.
Hello, Kate. Thank you so much. It's my real pleasure to be here on this wonderful day.
Yes, we got a lucky day.
Yes.
I'm so curious to learn more about what your life was like as a child, what your family felt like, and what kinds of things you were doing for enrichment and fun as a family when you were a girl.
Yes, of course. So I grew up in Baku. That's the capital of Azerbaijan. It's a country between Russia, Iran, and Turkey. It's a very interesting country. It's on the border of Europe and Asia, and people are really have characters both of European and Asian people. Even though the ethnicity is Turkish, but we cannot call ourselves Turks, to tell the truth. We are quite different from them. So what I did when I was a girl, we had many family gatherings. It's like a tradition. Big families, women gather together first in the afternoon to cook the dishes. We have very rich cuisine, very tasty. So lots of dishes, you know, baking and cooking. My mom's famous dish is plov, you know, it's rice with meat and with some vegetables. So we cooked a lot. We did pastries, baking, and men came like around six. So we all sat at the table. We had our dinner. And after that, actually my granny was a singer, an opera singer. So she used to entertain us. We had a piano at home. She used to play. We used to sing all together with her. And me and my brother, we were dancing a lot. So
that's wonderful. What kinds of songs would you sing?
At that time, they were mainly Azerbaijani national songs or written by modern Azerbaijani composers. There are actually the music culture is also quite diversified in Azerbaijan and very rich as well, starting from national songs, finishing with opera, you know, symphonies and all this classical stuff. And nowadays, of course, it's all this modern and contemporary music. Yeah, so we did that a lot. It was so much fun. Also, we used to go to our country house. It was at the site at the coast of Caspian Sea. Azerbaijan is on the coast of the Caspian Sea. So we used to spend time, especially summer, in the summer, we spent some time there. Again, all together with our family. It's like, you know, a tradition having a big family and they all interact, see each other, meet very often.
So, how many first cousins do you have?
We are eight. Uh-huh. We were like seven kids together, but no cousins from my dad's side.
That sounds wonderful. So sweet, the kind of simple things in life, being together, eating together, singing together.
Exactly. And, you know, during this pandemic and our quarantine, I think we started valuing relationship and seeing each other and the people and the friends and the family much more. And I just remember one famous writer saying, Saint-Exupéry, he was saying that people's relation is the most luxury thing in life. So that's something what we realize now. even more.
So this pandemic kind of reminds you of when you were a girl and the relationships were at the center then too.
Definitely. And as we say, we always go back to the roots, having our wings. It's something what we say in Azerbaijan. In order to be successful and happy, you need to have roots so that you know where you come from, you know your traditions, and you need to have wings so that you can fly.
Well, that's a lovely balance of the two realities. It's the yin and the yang, right?
Yes.
I have a fantasy of traveling to Baku, Azerbaijan. I think it's fascinating. It's just a fascinating crossroads of places. It's utterly gorgeous. You have rich arts and cultural traditions of all kinds. And I wondered if you and I were to spend a day in Baku, what kinds of places you'd take me to? Some of your favorite places, not necessarily tourist destinations, but where might we go and what would we see and do while we were in Baku together for a day?
Oh, there are so many places. We won't be able to cover all my favorite places within one day. But I will definitely take you to the sea coast. There is a boulevard. It's so beautiful. And, you know, the view is fascinating. Then I will probably take you to Ateşgah. It's Zoroastrian's temple. Because Azerbaijanis were, fire worshippers in the past. Before accepting Christianity and later Islam, we were fire worshippers. And the traditions are still there, you know. We celebrate Nowruz. It's like in spring, we have a new year. So there is a temple and we have so many worshippers from India, from Iran and different countries coming there. It's a very interesting temple. So dated before century. So I would probably take you there.
Well, that's great. I've never been to a Zoroastrian temple.
Yeah. Oh, it's an interesting place really. And lots of information, you know. Also, there is a place called Gobustan. It's the first human, you know, crafts, like when people started making paintings, also dated before century. It's somewhere close to Baku, but more, you know, to the mountains, because part of Azerbaijan is Caucasus mountains, Caucasian mountains. So yeah, so it's somewhere to that in that direction, but close to Baku. So there are interesting, you know, paintings of the people right on the rocks.
A cave painting kind of thing.
Yes, and we had a very famous Norwegian, he's a traveler, investigator, Turke Herdal, his name is. He said that Vikings came from the Caucasus Mountains.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, because he studied all those paintings, you know, and how do you call them? Rocky crafts or rocky craftings?
I think they call them petroglyphs.
Okay, petroglyphs, yeah. So he studied them and he said that Vikings came from, that's one of the versions. So it's a very interesting, it's a museum outside. So it's a very interesting place. And maybe I would also take you to our opera house for an excursion just to see how beautiful it is. And we can walk, we could walk through the city center. And also, I forgot to tell, there is a very interesting place, Old Town. You know, that's the place where Huns, kings, lived. You know, it's like small town, but it has so many, it has small houses, carpet museum, carpet shops, Hans, like King's Palace. So when you walk there, as if you happen to be somewhere in the 20th century, somewhere on the east, you know, because Baku is also so diversified. If you look at the construction made in the 19th, 20th century. It's so modern. It has Baroque style, you know, some Soviet style. And this old city is completely different, as if you happen somewhere in the Middle East. Yeah.
This is going to be a very busy day. If we stop at a cafe, will we get Turkish coffee, or what kind of, what's the hot beverage of choice?
It's tea.
Tea.
It's tea. Yeah. Because I don't know why we don't have this tradition of drinking coffee like Turkish people have, but we love tea and it's so nice. It's so tasty and it's served in special cups, you know. I mean, most of Eastern nations have those cups. So with some, you know, sweets, delicious sweets, national sweets.
Mm-hmm. Any that we would recognize, like baklava or something like that?
Yeah, baklava, şekerbura, badambura, kete, oh, so many, because the cuisine is really rich, you know. We have many, many dishes because we were settled. There was Khazar tribes, you know, some ancient times, and we settled quite early, much earlier than other nations in that region. And that's why we have very rich cuisine, you know, lots of pastries, lots of sweets, and those, you know, complicated dishes.
Yeah. You weren't just cooking over a fire on the go. You were a whole civilization way back.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Azerbaijan is just about to celebrate Republic Day on May 28th. It's the 102nd anniversary of that first secular democratic republic that was formed in the Muslim East, granting equal rights to women as well as many other progressive causes of the time, well in advance of many other countries, including this one. What kinds of things take place on Republic Day in Azerbaijan these days?
Oh, there are so many bands outside playing some national music. People get outside and they just talk to each other. They congratulate each other. They even dance, you know. There are many cafes open, you know, kebabs and, you know, the tea places called chaihanas. So people really get outside and walk a lot and interact with each other. Other than that, we sometimes have some parades, but it's, you know, like parades. Yeah. Is it called?
Oh,
like
parades.
Yes. Uh-huh. So, but it doesn't happen each year. For example, on 100th anniversary, there was a parade. So this year, of course, there is no parade
anywhere this year.
No parade, no. But we Azerbaijanis in the US, we will have a Zoom and very well-prepared program. You know, many singers there, many well-known people who will deliver speeches. So we will have a Zoom gathering.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Yeah, it's actually interesting that our national flag and national hymn was developed at that time in 1918 when this first democratic republic was established. And we still use that, even though it was for 23 months only for 2 years. But Azerbaijanis are very proud of themselves that they could establish such a republic. And some representatives, you know, well-known people from the government, some rich businessmen, they went to Paris Peace Conference in 1919. And French people and other people who were there were amazed with the intellectual level, you know, the cultural level of those peoples, and very nice ties were, you know, made at that time. But in but later on, Bolsheviks army conquered Azerbaijan and it became part of the Soviet Union until 1990, and after the USSR collapse, Azerbaijan got its independence again.
I love that timeline that you've laid out there. So for less than 2 years, 102 years ago, you all had your own progressive worldly government. You were overtaken by Bolsheviks, became part of USSR, and since 1990, then you've been back to being Azerbaijan. And yet you choose to celebrate this interrupted intention. And I think that shows such a real pride for what Azerbaijan created before being conquered. I wondered if you could tell me more about the spirit of the people in Azerbaijan as the energy behind Republic Day.
Yes, of course. The people are very peaceful and very hospitable. And if you come, I hope there will be someday when we can travel to Azerbaijan and I can really show you all those places which I named.
It sounds like creativity and the arts are very important to the people of Azerbaijan.
Yes, it really is. Even if you go to villages, I'm sometimes amazed with those people, you know. Some of them are not educated, but they sometimes are so creative, always smiling, you know, always warm. Even if they have a piece of bread at home and you came as a guest, they will share it with you. So, you know, some warm-hearted and so creative.
Lovely. And I'm sure you recognize that being a singer yourself.
Yes, I'm an amateur singer. I wouldn't call myself a singer. I'm an amateur singer. Yeah, but yeah. It's a passion, I would say, through all my life. Since I remember myself, I was 3 when I went to kindergarten and we started performing. Oh, it was my favorite activity.
Oh, no wonder your favorite memory of home is your grandmother playing the piano so you all could sing and perform.
Exactly.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is Nargiz Alizada, who is from Baku, Azerbaijan. Azerbaijan is on the Caspian Sea, and their neighbors are Russia, Georgia, Armenia, Turkey, and Iran. It is an area that is rich in natural resources, as you've mentioned, with oil, as well as rich, deep cultural offerings. Nargiz, you have had a very successful life working in finance with international companies as a finance manager, auditor, and consultant. You came to Maine to further your education, and you were instantly busy with work and parenting and studies. And then, even as you were juggling so much, COVID-19, came along, had a different idea about how things were going to be, and slowed things down at your household. I wondered if you could tell me about how your behavior patterns might have shifted during this pandemic.
It's really a difficult and challenging time for many of us, but nevertheless, people try to get the best of it, staying at home, and hopefully everybody is safe and healthy. So what changed is that I spend more time with my girls. We cook together, we bake together. They started doing lots of household things. We do many handicrafts. We are making lots of them from paper, and it could be just, you know, reusable paper. I mean, it could be some cartoon, you know, boxes. It could be something what would go to trash otherwise. Yeah. But we just decide to use our creativity. What can we do from that? You know, using some colors, you know, some sticks and some scotch. So just trying to make something interesting.
Exactly what you appreciated about the rural people in Azerbaijan. They just make out of whatever they've got.
Yes.
Yeah, there are your roots coming through, aren't they?
Yeah, for the girls, it's very good. For me, it's very good. And we train our brain and our hands. We sing karaoke. I hope the neighbors are not angry at us because we're sometimes loud. Because we love to sing, you know, all of us, 3 of us, me and my daughters. We go out a lot, and I'm so happy and feel blessed to happen to be in Maine at now. First of all, we love Maine. just when we came, we just fell in love with this place and with the people. And it's so nice to be here because there is so much, you know, places outdoor where you can walk. And we do outdoor games together, you know, some frisbee, ball, something else. We just try to invent our own games. Yeah, we started watching movies. I didn't do that before. And the girls were not very happy with that because mom has always been busy. So now I'm not so busy. We watch movies, and we spend much more time together. And besides that, I do lots of projects. I took some, extra projects at my MBA university, you know, studies. And not to waste time, you know, to spend time wisely.
Yes. Is that the one where you're trying to develop water monitoring systems for areas with drought?
Yes, that's the one in South Africa, and we are taking part in the contest, and depending on the results of that contest, we'll see who the winner will be, but not depending on that, it's really worth that time spent because I learned a lot of things, I gained new skills, and the team was, it's incredible, such an international team, 8 people from different continents and different countries. So,
and these are all students at University of Maine up in Orono?
No, these are students from different universities all over the globe because the project is called Global Leadership Enterprise Experience. So we're experiencing our leadership skills. And from different angles, you know, and one of them is, making a good team, being a good team player, especially taking into account such multicultural team. And, you know, it's very interesting and it's worth doing that.
Oh, wow, you're ambitious. So that's beyond your academic requirements. You're working on this global team. Nargis, how many languages do you speak?
4 languages. It's Azerbaijani, it's Russian, English, and Turkish.
And do you grow up speaking Russian in the schools?
Yes, I grew up speaking Russian. Russian is like my second native language.
Yeah. I'm picturing you and your daughters. You had said earlier they play piano. You grew up playing some piano too. I'd love to know what you're singing. What are your neighbors hearing you singing when you're doing karaoke? And how's that going?
Oh, what we sing? We sing some songs in English. We sing songs in Russian, in Azerbaijani. So it's mostly pop music, you know, popular music. So it's just for fun.
Do your daughters have a favorite song these days?
I think so. It's Believer, you know, this. It's always Believer.
And are there socks on and dancing around the room while you're singing it too?
They sing. They actually play piano. Both of them play piano. So it's something what I forgot to mention, what we do nowadays. So one of them plays drums and piano, and the small one plays piano. So that sometimes even I play piano because I also play piano. So, and they sing, sometimes it's just karaoke, you know.
That sounds so wonderful to me. You know, here we are kind of stuck at home, but you're making it such a connective time. How's it feeling to you, someone who's always been so busy, to have time to watch movies and sing with your girls?
It feels like a blessing because, sometimes in our lives, I think we need to stop. You know, we're always moving. And when we move, we sometimes miss to enjoy things, very simple things. And we forget about them. We're so much into our busy schedule, so we don't see anything around. So I think it's the best time when you stay at home and you just to stop and maybe look at your life differently, maybe time to change something and be positive. That's for sure. Be positive and just move forward, whatever it is. You know, these are circumstances which we cannot manage, but we need to get used to them and to take the best out of the situation. Of course, taken that everybody is healthy and safe, and just take care of yourself very wisely and carefully, and do something what you couldn't do before. And for example, I enjoy looking at the, you know, at the trees, at the leaves. I notice how colorful they are, the color of the sky. You know, we sometimes go to just drive through sometimes and looking at the ocean. It gives so much, you know, inspiration and positive emotions. So the simple things sometimes makes us happier than some, you know, sophisticated entertainment and time spending.
That's very beautifully stated. I heard it referred to recently as an important time to not think of it as an end, because it certainly has ended many things that structured our days before, but as a beginning of an unknown. And so what do you want to put into your unknown? And I think you're doing that with your music and your cooking and your crafts and your nature. Certainly making the most of this time, and a memorable time for your girls, I'm sure. It will stand out for all time in their minds, their time in Falmouth, Maine.
Falmouth, Maine, yeah. They even now state that how nice that we got closer together like a family, you know, and they really enjoy that. They really like that. And what I would like also to add, that uncertainty brings opportunities. So sometimes you just need to let it go, and something better than you expected can happen.
That is poetry.
Yes, that is poetry.
Nargis, what a very memorable experience you're creating for your family as this adventure unfolds in Maine. You are so graceful, intentional, and community-minded. I wish you the very best as you work to complete your MBA here in Maine. And thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much. It was my real pleasure.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song that Nargis has selected for us. Can you tell us what your song is and why you chose it?
This song is a popular song written by modern Azerbaijani composer last century, Tofik Kuliyev. This song, I like the music, and I like the lyrics, the words. It says that in any difficult time, when you have a friend who can support you, who can be next to you, it's like you are granted the whole world.
Perfect fit for those of us living in a pandemic, which is everybody. Here's to the friends. Thank you so much, Nargis.
Thank you.
a chance.